part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Before we get to this episode, I want to again highlight that this is yet another step in the evolution of the Chase Smith Podcast. It's not always going to be about sports, and that's okay. I'm talking about trending topics, national news stories, cultural trends, entertainment, TV, movies, things that I care about and enjoy talking about and that I want to talk about. And if you haven't heard, there is a national shortage of baby formula going on here in the United States, which is an absolutely heartbreaking and tragic sentence to say. And this kind of is a sad episode in some degree. Listen, steps are being taken to address the issue at the federal level. But my guest on this episode, Aubrey Hirsch, wrote a graphic essay retorting to a rather insensitive response to the shortage that she was reading and that I was able and that I was seeing as well. Some responses to the shortage were, "Hey, what's the big deal? Mothers make their own food," to this shortage of baby formula in the stores, something to that degree, which I guess is true in like a literal sense, but it's just so disturbingly short-sighted. It's borderline insulting. I mean, it very easily can be taken as insulting. And I feel this topic, this whole situation here, is just this massive case study yet again in compassion and empathy. And it shouldn't be a hard test to pass. Is there an easier lob to smash out of the park than wanting babies to be fed? Could a curveball hang any more in the middle of the plate? Then yes, we want babies to have food instead of just having to say, well, it's not a big deal. Like it doesn't make sense to me. Aubrey's graphic essay addresses some of the non-discussed stresses and difficulties of breastfeeding and how it's not always easier or free. We talked that we're very pro-breastfeeding. My wife, Leslie, she violently breastfed both of our kids. She's incredible. And I witnessed firsthand the toll that it could take on a mother, how taxing it can be for someone who's also trying to work full time, and the stresses it can add to a sleep deprived mother and father. If you haven't read Aubrey's article, go check it out. Do it right now. You'll come back. Like, press pause, open your browser, go to Vox.com and check it. I trust you. You'll come back. I'll be right here. I'm not going anywhere. But I am going to be gone all next week. But when I come back, I'm going to try to give an update on the war in Ukraine and then do a special episode on the Cleveland Browns where I share why I'm no longer supporting the team. Got a lot of fun things in store for the summer, and I can't wait. I'm also not sure what happened to the audio quality of this episode. Something happened, and I didn't catch it until post, which is frustrating on my end. It sounds like it recorded with a computer microphone instead of my pod mic here. Anyways, it's not terrible. It's just not to the quality that I like. You'll hear a difference with this preamble and the actual show. You'll be able to hear it pretty quickly, which we should probably start. So I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you for downloading the Chase Smith Podcast, proudly part of the Press Play Podcast Network. In this episode, I interview Aubrey Hirsch, an accomplished writer and illustrator of stories. We talk about the baby formula shortage, her national trending graphic essay titled "The Many, Many Costs of Breastfeeding" on Vox.com, and where mothers can find additional food, formula, or milk for their babies. Let's get it! Here with me, a 2022 National Endowment for the Arts Fellow. You can find her work in Time, Vox, and the New York Times, among other outlets. She's a writer. She's an illustrator of stories. Aubrey Hirsch. Aubrey, thanks for coming on the Chase Smith Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, first, congratulations on the NEA Fellowship. That's an incredible honor.
Thank you. Yeah, that was very exciting.
Yeah. So tell us about that. Was that like how did that happen? That's awesome.
Yeah, well, so it's something you can apply for if you, and mine's in literature. So if you have enough qualifying publications in the last 5 years, and it's just a, you know, financial award to help you with your art. It's funny, I was describing it to my parents, you know, because they were like, "What is this exactly?" And I was like, "Well, you know how like every year, some people get really mad because the government gave some artist $25,000 to like fill a pair of socks with raw meat and hit it with a hammer." And they're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "That's me. I'm the guy with the hammer." So that's pretty incredible. Much.
Gosh, I wonder how many people our age, Aubrey, have to explain to our parents what we do.
It's a constant process.
Correct. Well, congratulations. What are you looking to, like, is there a huge project you're working on, or like, what does that mean for your work moving forward?
Well, I'm hoping to sell a graphic memoir. So I'm hoping to write a book that's, you know, like a nonfiction book written and illustrated.
Yeah, which, so your type of journalism, I've never seen anything like it. Like in journalistic publications, I've read graphic novels and stuff. For those of you who don't know about Aubrey's work, she writes stories and essays, but they're in comic strips and like graphics. So it's like this hybrid work of memes and graphic novels, but they're in like legit, like journalistic publications, which is incredible.
Yeah.
How did you find that, like that niche? Cause that's really, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Well, I kind of came to it from the writing side. I, you know, did an MFA in fiction writing and I wrote a book of short stories that are just, you know, prose. And then I started reading in literary magazines. I noticed that they would have sometimes comics in them, like illustrated stories. And I was like, ooh, that looks like more fun than what I'm doing now. So I started to try to learn it a little bit. And then the first few that I made were just very much like personal, almost like little illustrated poems. Mm-hmm. And then I pitched one to this place called The Nib, which has some of the best comics journalism in the world. And they were like, this is good, but let's make it like not about you. Let's make it about the bigger thing. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of like, I don't know if I can do that. Like do like actual reporting. Like, that's scary. And luckily there was a very kind editor named Sarah Merck, who kind of walked me through it and really held my hand through like my first couple pieces. Mm-hmm. And then once I got the hang of it, I was like, oh, this is great. And also you can talk to people about like really heavy, complicated issues, but like there's pictures. So, yes. You know, people like enjoy reading it and they like to share it. And I find that, you know, a lot of people will like read a comic that might not read like just a wall of text about whatever the thing is that you're talking about.
It really seems, Aubrey, to be the perfect like media form for Twitter and Instagram and everyone's on their phones. It's not a ton of like written words, but together with the art that you create with that just paints this incredible story, and you can just swipe and all of a sudden through 8 swipes and you're at the end and you've been able to tell this incredible narrative, but then highlight it with these pictures. I think it's just cool. Were you always an artist?
That is such a good question. I would have to say no. I was never like, you know how there's like the one kid in your third grade class is like so good at art and like every art class just like knocks out of art. I was definitely not that kid. I was nowhere really on the radar. But somewhere around like college, I kind of figured out that if you gave me a photograph, I could like replicate it decently well, like with a pencil and paper. And I would sometimes draw pictures of like, you know, like when my cousin had a baby, I would draw a picture of her baby for her as like a gift, but it was never anything I did like with any kind of concerted practice until I started doing this. And then I was like, oh, now I have to kind of like learn like what there is to know, which is not just drawing, but is also like so much about like visual balance, and also color was really challenging for me. Mm-hmm. Perspective I find to be always really difficult, but I've kind of like figured out my system that works for this sort of limited thing that I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Well, it's super great. And congrats on all of your success, which
Thank you. The
past couple of weeks I'm sure has been, you know, just exciting. You wrote a story about the baby formula shortage, and it was trending on Twitter. It's been shared and a ton of interactions and impressions. And so I read it whenever it dropped and was like, that was just incredibly informative. And I was like, I'd love to talk and hear about the baby formula shortage, but also hear about your story. So before we just get into your, because it was dropped on Vox.com, how do we get to this point where we don't have baby formula on shelves? That seems like a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. It seems like there's a couple of different factors that kind of led into it. One of them being just kind of a miscalculation about demand. Another one, of course, the pandemic, there were supply chain issues everywhere, you know, that have to do with containers and factory parts and various things like that. But the biggest one is that the largest United States manufacturer of baby formula was shut down for contamination. Apparently that like a few different, cases of formula tested positive for some contaminant, and then they went to the factory and checked out and they couldn't find it. So they just basically shut the whole thing down. And it's now become a really big problem where the out of stock rate at most national stores has gone over 40%. So over 40% of stores, if you go and look for your baby formula, it's not there. And, you know, baby formula is like a really delicate thing. You can't replace it with anything. It's not like you can just give a baby a cheeseburger or something. And also it's not great to switch it. So if your baby's been eating one brand, that's kind of what you want to keep feeding them. It's not like you can just go to the store and if they don't have your brand, you can pick up something else. Now, of course you can do that in a pinch, but it's not ideal, you know, and parents are always just wanting to do like what's the best and most ideal thing for their baby, but are finding themselves without options.
Man, that's it's really kind of terrifying. It is this incredible case study of compassion and empathy, because this is very much an easy situation to say, oh, I don't have kids, it's not a big deal, right? It's very compartmentalized and affects only a certain amount of people and a certain type of population. And it's just been fascinating to see people's responses to this. Mm-hmm. Some people don't care. Some people, and it seems like this is kind of how you, like you found your point of view for your article, responded with, well, moms make their own food. That's, you know, they can just breastfeed and problem solved. Why do we have a shortage? Mm-hmm. And reading that response, it was heartbreaking for me because it was just like, well, how can you be so ignorant? But then you laid it out in such a way nicer way than maybe there was anger behind that. But your article kind of destroyed that myth that, well, hey, that's one, a really ignorant and uncompassionate response to this problem. But it was just awesome how you laid it out.
Thank you. Yeah, that's been such a frustrating thing to see on so many different levels. You know, I mean, for one thing, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of like biology, because how breastfeeding works when it goes right, and it doesn't always go right, is that it's a kind of supply and demand thing. You know, the more you nurse your baby, the more milk your body makes. If you're not doing it, you can't just turn it on now like a faucet. Like if you have a 3-month-old baby that you haven't been breastfeeding and you need formula for that baby, you cannot now start breastfeeding that baby. It's just simply not how bodies work. And then also, breastfeeding doesn't work for every family for a lot of reasons, you know, adoption and foster care. Some babies have allergies to things that moms might eat or need special formula because they have health needs. Some moms have trouble with milk supply, or are taking medications that are contraindicated for breastfeeding. I mean, there are any number of reasons why it's not possible to do. But then beyond that, not everybody wants to do it. And there are tons of reasons why people don't want to do it and they shouldn't have to. You know, that's why we have these alternatives, is like to make it possible to live your life and not have to make that choice if it's not one that you want to make. But the idea that, you know, breastfeeding is just a thing that's free and that's how simple it is obviously ridiculous. And for sure, the comment came from a place of anger of seeing those tweets. And then the more research I did, the more angry I got. You know, it was like, I knew when I saw people say that, this is a problematic response. But it wasn't until I really delved into the research that I understood exactly how problematic it was.
And parenting's hard enough, right? Yeah. It's stressful enough. My wife and I have two kids. Our daughter just turned 7 and our son turned 2. Oh. And my wife was able to breastfeed both of our kids, but that was still incredibly stressful and difficult. It seemed inconvenient to me, mm-hmm. to having to get up at hours of the morning and having to pump during work. And yeah. You got to make sure that the milk is stored at the right thing. And you got to make sure that you unthaw it and then you have to feed it. And it was not easy at all.
And no, it was a lot of work on
everyone.
Yeah. And, you know, that it's interesting because a lot of people have read this piece in one of two ways. You know, a fair few people have gotten in touch with me that are very angry, who feel like what I've written is really like anti-breastfeeding. And, you know, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. And like, how dare I attack people who choose to breastfeed in this way, which is definitely not my intention. This is just a response to the people who say, oh, it's free. But the other half of the people are responding to me saying like, thank you. You know, I breastfed three babies and yeah, like it is a lot of work and it's a lot of time. And it's nice to see that acknowledged. It's nice to see somebody saying like, this is what goes into it, because you don't hear a lot of people talk about that. You mostly just hear people say, oh, it's free. And I also, you know, I breastfed two babies too, and I really like doing it, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. You know, it's still a lot of work.
I did not breastfeed our children.
No judgment, whatever way you feed your family.
But I saw the, like the tears of all that's happening and hard time latching right after that. You know what I mean? Like, that's a struggle because you do want, which, you know, not everyone wants to, but Leslie did want to. And, and then, oh, I feel like the baby's not getting enough. Like it was just a constant stress and concern and worry. And so I read your piece, Aubrey, and I was like, oh my goodness. Yes. All of the, like the, what pump should I get? How many bags? What about the cream? And what about, we got to clean the pump tubes every night.
And it was just like, and like, is my baby eating? Like, I don't know. You can't look at your breast and see how much milk has come out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's also just a lot of pressure, like on your body, you know, even if you have really supportive people in your life who want to help, they can only help so much, you know, like you're doing all this stuff and it's like, oh my gosh,
I felt so helpless. Like, I changed the diaper, I can get up. But at that point it's, well, if baby's hungry, there's nothing much. And this was a bottle ready a couple hours ago, then I can help. But I did feel a little helpless. And as our baby transitioned to whatever, like the first step, like whatever, like I felt I can contribute that way more. But I read that and I was like, oh my goodness, I haven't read a lot of pieces that talk about the stress or the like kind of like dominoes when you do try to breastfeed, that it can, as much joy as it brought my wife, and I can see that it also brought a lot of stress and work and like extra exhaustion on top of the exhaustion that it already is raising kids.
Yeah, definitely. I think too, like, a lot of people, it's very easy to say this kind of thing, like, oh, if you will never have to worry about formula if you just breastfeed. But the thing is, like, you make your plan, you know, you make your plan with your partner, and then the baby comes and the baby like has its own plan. And, you know, it was not in my plan to exclusively breastfeed. I felt like it was something I would like to do, I'd like to try. And then I would also like to use some formula so I could get some sleep and my partner could help. But my kids would never drink from bottles. Like they just didn't like it. They wouldn't do it. And so I ended up, you know, really doing it like all on my own, which was not, again, my plan. And that's true for a lot of people. Like their plan is to breastfeed, but they have low supply, or their baby is allergic to something and they can't figure out what it is, you know, and they need to get like special formula. They have a preemie that they need the calories immediately and their body's not making it right away. You know, I mean, there's so many different things that go into it, that anytime anybody gives a kind of a flippant response that makes it seem like a simple issue, that is like immediately going to make me mad.
Again, it's hard for me to put myself in someone's shoes to where they would read your piece and come away thinking that it was anti-breastfeeding.
I've had several, mostly men, try to lecture me. You know, I had this one guy try to come at me on Instagram and he's like, you obviously have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, can I just ask, how many babies did you breastfeed? And he's like, well, that doesn't matter. I have two sisters. And I was like, okay, all right. Well, I didn't realize you had sisters. So you obviously know more about this than I do, even though I did breastfeed two babies for, you know, a total of like 30 months and also did a lot of research to write this piece. But like, I will defer to you, random Instagram person.
So dumb. Okay. So what steps is the government, what steps are we taking to try to correct some of these supply chain issues that are kind of leading to some of the formula shortage here?
Yeah, well, this is changing like every day. I know they just passed a bill for like to send something like 28.
That was Congress yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it million or billion?
Well, so I have my notes. I have 28 million, but then okay. Right before he came on, mm-hmm. I was like, is it million? And I was
that
trying to
sound like a lot.
No. I read it on CNN and I couldn't find it in time. So 28. Yeah.
Some amount of money that begins with 28
million.
Yeah. To try to help, you know, with supply of formula. I think the plant that had to close for contamination is now going to reopen for some specialty products. Like,
and that's in Michigan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some like specific products that they're still going to make, but they're kind of, it's a little bit weird because they're kind of saying to people like, yeah, at your own risk, you know, and I feel like that's a kind of a weird position to put parents in where it's like, I mean, you have to feed your baby, but it doesn't feel great to have it kind of come with a warning label of like, this is maybe contaminated, but I think they're feeling like it's the lesser of two evils at this point.
Yeah.
So I know that's happening. I think people are trying on a local level. Like moms I'm talking to are like, you know, they want to make sure that they have formula for their baby, but they also don't want to be stockpiling because they understand this is a supply issue. So tell us
about human milk for human babies. That was at the end of, or no, you did a thread, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. This is also a great resource. So human milk for human babies. And there are a few different versions of this too. If you Google something like milk sharing, it's a Facebook group. And then they have local networks. So you go to like the main Facebook page and there's a button that says like, click here to find your local group. And you can click there and then you can find your state or your area. And this is something that I did for a really long time because, as I mentioned, my son would not drink from a bottle. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, when I was at work all day, I had to keep pumping to keep my supply up. You know, you can't just not. And also because you would become very uncomfortable if you went a whole day without pumping. So I would be pumping all this breast milk. And then I would, you know, leave a bottle for the babysitter, but he never would drink it. It was just like, then it would get poured down the drain. And it felt so bad to like be wasting all of this milk that I found this Facebook group. And immediately the first time I went on it, it just like tore my heart in two. You know, it's like all these moms who would be like, I'm an adoptive mom and my kid can't drink formula because of, you know, this and this and this. And I'm like down to my last 5 ounces and I'm really scared in terms of like how I'm going to feed my baby. And I'm like, oh my God, you know? So yeah. I hooked up with like a couple of local moms there and I would just bring them the milk that I had pumped while I was at work. And it actually made me feel a lot better because it felt like at least someone's drinking it, you know, at least it's going to use. So that's something that, you know, I put out there on Twitter just to encourage if there are any, you know, breastfeeders out there who have a freezer stash that's overflowing or maybe are in a situation like mine. Sometimes people don't know about that kind of like parent to parent milk share because there are big milk banks that you can donate pumped milk to and they like clean it and they do all the stuff to it and then they provide it to people. But there's like a minimum ounce count. And I can't remember what it is. It's been so many years, but it's like you have to give them like 50 ounces or something. And it was something that for me, it felt like a lot, like I would have been saving up for months. Whereas the parent to parent milk share, if you have a bag of milk that has 6 ounces in it or 3 ounces in it or 8 ounces in it, there's somebody that would love to have that and would be excited to, you know, be able to use that to feed their baby. You don't have to worry about having some kind of like enormous number that might feel insurmountable. You can just find another family that, you know, you can help, especially now.
Yeah. President Biden tweeted that he's enacted the Defense Production Act to increase domestic production of baby formula. And they're launching also Operation Fly Formula to use federal planes to fly in formula from abroad. The FDA taking proactive steps as well. And so hopefully this kind of corrects itself soon. Is there a projected, like, we hope this begins to kind of increase soon? Or have you heard anything about projections like that?
I don't know. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think people are really kind of in a scramble because it's finally, and you know, there were whispers of this, like starting months ago, and the out of stock rates were kind of slowly ticking up and people were noticing it like, oh, now I'm having to go to like three different stores, to, like find the thing I need. Right. But I think it didn't, not until it kind of hit this crisis point, did people kind of spring into action. So of course there'll be a bit of a delay, but you know, hopefully people will start getting some relief soon.
Yeah. Talk to your local healthcare provider for alternatives to any formula that you need. Maybe it also help you point in directions for resources in the community or anything else to find if, you know, you are kind of looking for, you know, food and that is an issue that you're trying to have. Aubrey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This has been great.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Where can we find your stuff? People, if they want to follow you, like, let's plug all the things.
Yeah, great. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Aubrey Hirsch. And yeah, other than that, you know, you can just Google me and I'm out there.
The many, many costs of breastfeeding is on Vox.com. And what do we say? It's a graphic essay.
Perfect.
All right. Aubrey, thank you so much. And we'll talk again. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. That does it for this episode of the Chase Smith Podcast. Thank you all so much for downloading and listening. Shouts to the Press Play Podcast Network for making this possible. Follow us online at Press Play Pods. Visit our website at pressplaypodcast.com. Keep up with all of our shows and network news, and I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.